Welcome to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. You will be able to find more Heartland sermons at hcc.ag or Heartland Christian Center YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our lead pastor, Dr. Phil Willingham.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for worshiping. Wow, thank you again for joining us online, wherever you're watching. I found out we got people down in the Bahamas. Maybe they're watching in the Bahamas today. I don't know what the time zone is, but hey, North Judson, Wauwatosa, Hebron, hey, could you give them a good hand clap? Welcome them to our online family here this morning. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11. We've been in this series all this month just on the fact of Jesus is. Talked about him being the bread, talking about being the provider. Last week, Pastor Matt talked about Jesus' grace. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus is the resurrection and life. He is the resurrection and life. I don't know about you, but when I look around this world, I know we're living in the midst of great suffering. There's death, there's disease, there's disabling physical ailments that people are constantly dealing with. There's not a better time for the church and for Christ's followers but not just sing about the resurrection, not just preach about the resurrection, but to truly live the resurrection. We understand that the fear of death has plagued man ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And because of that, it causes us to do a lot of foolish things. People will medicate themselves with drugs and alcohol. People try to look younger than they are. They make fool of themselves. You ever see somebody just make a fool of themselves trying to appear to be younger than what they... Don't point no fingers to me. Stop that. Put them fingers down. But in the process, they destroy themselves and sometimes their family. We try to reverse the irreversible. But most of us in this room, everybody watching, we know there is no fountain of youth. There's no way that our mortal bodies are going to live forever. Science have enabled us to prolong our lives a little bit, but they still can't do anything about dying. Plastic surgeons sometimes will make you look like you cheated death. You get the perpetual smile. Yeah, come on. But you're still going to die. And unlike the rest of the world, as Christ followers, Jesus teaches us that you and I do not have to fear death. Now, this morning, I think this message is going to help two classes of people in this room today. Number one, if you've ever had to go to the cemetery and bury somebody that you loved and said goodbye to them, I hope that you went there with a living hope inside of you. So your faith today is just going to be reaffirmed in what you know to be true. And if you're sitting here today and you have been so blessed and you've lived so free of ever having to go to a funeral and bury anybody, you need this message today. Because one day you're going to feel what it feels like to appear at the moment to be living in such a hopeless situation. And I want to take you to John chapter 11. And just to set the stage just a little bit, this is going to be Jesus' last miracle before he himself will go be crucified. He will die and he will resurrect from the grave. We're going to talk about that more next Sunday on Easter. But this is his last miracle. Now, here's what we know. History tells us, the Bible tells us, Jesus has raised at least two people from the dead when he gets to Lazarus's tomb. There was the son, there was the daughter of Jairus who had died. Jesus got delayed getting there. And most theologians believe that maybe he was late for a few hours, but by the time he arrives, they're mourning. They said, she's dead. And he raises her up. Now, here was the problem. There was people in Jesus' day that still believed that she really wasn't dead. She'd only been you know, declared dead for a few hours. Maybe she passed out. Maybe she had the slew theory. That's what they tried to say about Jesus, that he really wasn't dead. He just slewed. His body's heart rate just slowed down. So when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, there were still people that didn't believe that he had the power to do that. Then there was the son of Nan. She was taking her son to the funeral. There was a funeral procession going on. Jesus stops the funeral procession and gets the boy out of the coffin. Come on. Again, most theologians say in that day and hour, it was probably had been a day, because usually when you died, they immediately wrapped your body up and took your body to the tomb to prepare you for death. Never had Jesus did what he's about to do in John chapter 11. The Bible said this in verse 24. Jesus found on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Everybody say 4 days. Now listen, I'm not going to get scientific on you because I can't afford to. Too many big words. But listen, this dude, at 4 days, listen, death has did a horrible thing to the body. Within 24 hours, the 36 hours, the body swells up, rigor mortis sets in, the body starts letting off toxic gases, but by 4 days, rigor mortis has now left, the skin has become very mushy, gases are coming out, blood's come out, and by 4 days, he is stinking. Matter of fact, later in the story, Martha will say, Jesus, wait a minute. You want us to roll away the tomb. Jesus, Lazarus is dead 4 days. By now, he stinks, okay? Jesus wanted people to know he had power to raise the dead, and he waited. Now, watch this. Let me read this. Many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Now, watch this. 30 days was the normal for back in the biblical day. When you died, they didn't have a 24-hour funeral. They took you to the, wrapped you up, put you in the tomb. But for 30 days, I told Rhonda, I want to have a biblical funeral, okay? 30 days, I want you at this church to go in the morning for me, okay? 30 days, they, Mary and Martha was in their house there at Bethany. Jerusalem was close by. And many of the Jews had come to comfort them. They're a very influential family. They had a tremendous reputation in that city, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So the people are there, and they're comforting Mary and Martha. And they're there weeping and mourning because of the loss of their brother. Now, we don't know how long it took him to die. The scripture doesn't tell us, was he sick for several weeks? The Bible said when Jesus got word of his sickness, he waited 2 more days before he even shows up. So we don't know the agony that Mary and Martha went through at their brother's death. There was no ER. There wasn't no hospitals. There wasn't no medications. They drug people now were death. Oftentimes, because of the drugs that they can put in, it looks a little bit nicer. But during their day, death was a horrible thing. If you've ever been around anybody to die, it's not pleasant. The struggle for air, the gasping for breath, the gurgling that goes on. And Mary and Martha had went through this. Are you with me? So get this picture. Jesus has waited for 2 days. He shows up. And the Bible says he's been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now, watch this. If most of you know the story of Mary and Martha, remember when Jesus was in their home prior to Lazarus' death? Martha was in the kitchen. Martha's a rule keeper. You everybody's got the sibling that they follow the rules. They do what's expected of them. When Jesus is in their home, Martha's in the kitchen. She's cooking. And Mary is at the feet of Jesus worshiping. Remember how Martha got ticked because Mary wasn't in there helping her? She went to Jesus and said, hey, won't you tell her to get in the kitchen and help me? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about. So Martha is the rule keeper. But right here, the roles get reversed. Mary stays back. She's with all the mourners. Everybody's there. And Martha runs out and she meets Jesus. And she says this to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You like the honesty that you hear from Martha? You like her being real at that moment? I mean, this is Martha, the rule keeper, but now she's broke the rule. She's not home mourning. She's not with all the guests. She's run out to meet Jesus. She said, I want to tell you right now, here's my thesis on this. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I love the raw honesty. Because here's why we need to hear that today. We got people in our culture today that are suffering and hurting, and they're quick to say, if God is such a loving God, where was he when I was being abused? If God is such a loving God, why didn't he show up and get me out of my circumstances? Or am I preaching to anybody in this house today? We got people today that they struggle with the fact of saying, God, we feel like you were absent when I needed you. That's what Martha's feeling. God, I needed you. You wasn't here. And I love the raw honesty. And for some of us in this room today, listen, you know what your takeaway is going to be? You need to be willing to bring your raw honesty to God sometime. You need to be willing to take your confusion, your upsetness, your wishful thinking, your expectation that you had on God, and say, God, I'm willing to confront you with it, because that's what Martha's doing. She's confronting Jesus with what she's feeling inside. But now here's the problem with Martha. Since she's a rule keeper, she immediately goes to a religious, pious conversation. She said, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And then Martha says out in the future, well, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of at the last day. So what's this? Martha moves away from this raw reality. God, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Where were you at? Why did you delay your coming? Wouldn't you? And then, as she's standing there facing him, she might have said, "Oop, wait a minute, should I be saying that?" And then she said, "But I know that even now, God's going to give you what." You ever seen people, they just get into religious talk real quick? They leave the real world and they moved in. Well, bless God. Well, you know, when one door shuts, God opens another door. You really believe that sometime? Or you just say it because people think you should be saved? Am I making sense? You ever had those moments when those doors shut down, that hope died, that dream died, and then all of a sudden when you're confronted with your real raw feelings and then somebody else shows up and you say, well, I tell you what, I'm just trusting God. One door shut, God opens. If he doesn't open the door, he might open the window. Blow. Hallelujah. When you see these bumper stickers that say, the real bread of life never gets stale. That's just a religious facade that doesn't want to sometimes be real. See, what the world needs today, listen, what the world needs today is a church just to be real with them. What the world needs today is for somebody to step up and say, listen, I had all of my hope and all of my expectation that Jesus would show up and my brother wouldn't die, but he's late and he died and that's it. That's why I'm upset. And God says, I can handle that. You follow me? He can't handle you pretending. He can't handle you, well, my marriage is in the divorce, and well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be, and I'm just going to keep knowing. God can handle you saying, what happened? That's not even my sermon. I just feel like somebody needs to hear that. And Jesus said, Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? She doesn't answer him. She doesn't say, that's what my faith. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming to the world. She didn't answer, do you believe that whoever lives by believing in me, now listen, me, Jesus saying, I am, remember, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. He said, whoever believes in me, he's not asking her to believe in religion. He said, you've got to believe in me. Oh, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who's coming to this world. Oh, Jesus said, you've got to believe in me. See, this is where we have to take people today in this world of hurt and brokenness and disappointment. This is where we have to, listen, it isn't about getting people to get to church. It isn't about getting people to get to a small group. Small groups are good. Church is good. It's about getting people to connect with Jesus because Jesus is the resurrection and life. He's the one that we have to fall in love with. You fall in love with him and you trust him. Hebrews 2 says this, Jesus became a mortal. He put on flesh and become just like us. That's why he had to come down. That's the reason Matt preached last week. The word became flesh. He become mortal. He become like us so that through his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Of all the fears that we have, we fear death. We do everything we can to live longer. I don't want to die. And yet the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. But we don't have to live with hopelessness. It's not about believing in something. It's about believing in a person. A few years ago, Newsweek magazine, religious editor, Lisa Miller, she writes some religious articles. And she had a blog right before Easter. And in that pre-Easter article, she said, the story of Christ's resurrection has strained the credibility of even the most devoted believer because it's truly unbelievable. And several times in the article, she had the idea that the physical resurrection of Jesus was just unbelievable. She said it presents such a credibility problem. And she concluded, for my part, I don't buy into it. I just don't believe it. Again, you're going to see the importance of understanding. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. It's me. Now, just to be fair to hurt, listen, people in the world today, they struggle. University of Ohio, they did a question in 2022. They said, do you believe that after you die, you will be physically resurrected? 54% said they did not believe it. 10% said they're undecided. Almost two-thirds of America said, we don't believe that when you die, you ever come back. They believe that dead people tend to stay dead. And listen, the Sadducees in Jesus' day, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection because that's the reason they were sad, you see. They were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But listen, neither did Jesus' disciples. When Jesus told them he would die, be buried, and rise again, Peter said in Matthew 16:22, Peter said, this will never happen. We'll talk a little bit about Peter next week, but later when the disciples heard the news, the Bible said that they were filled with grief. And finally, after Jesus rose from the dead and John and Peter raced to the tomb, the Bible said they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. See, we have a culture today that, listen, non-Christian religion says this. Islam religion says God would never die for humanity because it's not in his nature. Some scientists say the resurrection is a total fable. Atheists say the disciples were victims of a mass delusion and were just hallucinating. And yet, listen, there are 260 chapters in the New Testament, and there's over 300 references to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's important. Because everything hinges on the fact that not just that he went to the cross and he died, but that he went in the tomb and he got out on the third day. Not the fourth day, the third day. He arose. Well, I'm about to get excited. Listen, there's some 89 chapters in the New Testament. Only 4 chapters in the New Testament deal with the infancy and the narratives of Jesus' birth. But more than half of the 89 deal with the final 8 days of Jesus' life and his resurrection. Every sermon in the book of Acts talks about the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He arose. And he's going to stand at Lazarus' tomb, and he's going to use Lazarus as an example, because this would be the last miracle that he would perform. And there was no doubts about this dude was dead. He stinks. There was nothing about his flesh that looked like there might be a mistake. He might not really be dead. He was truly dead. Paul said that Jesus' resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 said, I deliver to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. You have to believe that he was buried. You believe that, but that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of all whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Jesus rose from the dead. And because Jesus lives, that's our hope. We can live. It doesn't mean we won't die, but it means that we can live. Live eternally. We're going to talk about that. Listen, Jesus is a resurrection and life. So what's it? There's 2 questions. When I read this story, the first question, why did Jesus say he was a resurrection and life? Why didn't he just say, I am the resurrection? Why throw in what it seems like redundant phrase to say life? I am the resurrection and life. Again, go back to where Jesus, his best friend Lazarus had just died. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Martha approaches him and said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Listen, she is correct in what she's saying. She's just not complete with her theology. She's correct, but she's not complete. The Bible said Jesus deliberately delayed his arrival to coming to Lazarus. So what? So that the works of God may be glorified. You want me to tell you a real theological question some of us have to wrestle with sometime? Why don't we get the miracles right now? Why don't they just happen instantaneously? He does it. He can do it. Come on, we just sung about it. There's nothing our God can't do. Do you know what we struggle with? Sometimes they don't happen. Why? So that the works of God may be made manifest. So that God may somehow or another get a greater glory in what he's about to do in the future. Oh, I want stuff done now. I want it in the moment. And I have to really struggle to trust God to say, God, I know even though I think you're late, you're always an on-time God. Come on, somebody needs to hear that today. He deliberately delayed his arrival because, listen, he intended to raise Lazarus from the dead as his last miracle before his own crucifixion, his own death. And Lazarus was going to come out of the grave to prove that he had this power. And Jesus sets the scene by saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother is going to live again. Roll away the stone. And the stone got rolled away. Everybody's holding their nose. I can't believe he's asking this. You had to know it stuck. And then when the stone got away, he says, Lazarus, come forth. But here's the problem. With every miracle Jesus performs, here's the problem. People still die. With every resurrection that Jesus ever did, people still died. Lazarus wasn't going to live forever. He was going to live at that moment. Jesus is a resurrection, but they're about to learn he's not just a resurrection, but he is alive. There was something permanent about what Jesus can do. See, that's what we have to understand sometimes when we walk by faith and we want to see miracles. We want to see God do the impossible. Listen, I can tell you person after person, I know they got healed of cancer. They got healed of heart disease. They got healed of this or that. But eventually, as the Lord tarries, we still all die. And if your faith is just in the miracle, guess what happened? When they die, your faith dies because the miracle is no longer there. He didn't give Lazarus eternal life, but he wanted Martha and everybody there and Mary to know, I am the resurrection and life. Not just life, I'm the eternal life. Woo, what hope. Oh, I wish you could get this. Paul said it like this, I tell you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed, for this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. That's eternal life. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. It's swallowed up. No, we live, we get miracles, but we die. But Jesus said, no, no, no. If you understand, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the eternal life. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. Our mortal body dies, but we get resurrected. And we don't get resurrected with this old flesh and bone thing that breaks down and hurt. We have eternal life. Listen, he not only comes so that people would be raised from the dead, he comes so that we could have eternal life. See, come on, say that with me. Life eternal. Come on, say it. That's what your hope hinges on, folks. Stop hinging your hope on you getting a miracle and you thinking that miracle is going to give you. The miracle doesn't give you eternal life. It's Jesus that gives you eternal life. That's why you keep worshiping and serving and walking with him. He's the one that fills us with hope. And he says, Martha, Mary, I want you to know this. And then the second question that you have to ask about this. Why did Jesus say what he said the way he said it? Why did he say, I am the resurrection life? Why didn't he just simply say, well, you know, I'm going to raise people from the dead. I'm going to give them life. He doesn't say that. Why does he make it all about himself? Listen, because it's all about himself. It's about a person. That's why Christianity in 2024 has to put your arms around today. It's about a person. It's about Jesus himself. Jesus is the power of the resurrection. He is the power of life. It's him. It's the reason why we go to him being the bread, him being the light, him being the door, not anything else. Nothing else will satisfy you. It's only about Jesus. It's what he's trying to draw our attention to. Not long ago on a PBS, there was a minister who was asked, I do watch PBS sometimes. There was a minister who was asked the question, do you believe Jesus was raised, physically raised from the dead? And here was his response. This is a minister, Christian minister. I believe that the person and the personality that was in Jesus continues. So that today he is risen and living in his purpose and in his personality. Wait a minute. What he's suggesting is that the purpose of Jesus lives on, but Jesus is physically dead. No, that's what other religions try. Other religions have to constantly try to have a purpose living on. Listen, Christianity is the only religion we don't have a purpose living on. We have a person that lives on. It's a person that was resurrected. It's a person that come out of the grave. It's a person that's ascended to the Father's right hand and sat down at his hand, and he's interceding for us. It's not just the purpose. It's the person. Jesus is the example. Lives for us as in, because listen, he really died and he really got out of the grave. If we believe in the experience of the resurrection as just a purpose or some thing that happened, but he didn't physically get out of the grave, it was just kind of all tied into to an experience, then we got no hope in this world. Then anybody can come along sometime and they can kill your purpose. They can wipe your mission out in a second. But boy, if you're wrapped up in a person, come on, somebody's getting this. How many of you've got light switches in your house? You got light switches? Anybody here? Anybody ever use? Listen, when you go into a dark room and you flip on that light switch, guess what happened? The lights come on. But how many smart enough to know the light switch doesn't have the power to give the light? It's simply a way to turn the light on. The power comes miles away from the electricity company, NIPSCO, whoever you have. Listen, the power behind the lights isn't in the light switch. The light switch is just flipped. And if the light switch is not connected to a power source somewhere, you can flip those light switches all day long and nothing, you're still in the dark. Come on. Does that make sense? You're still in the dark. You're flipping the switch. Listen, only because the power is at the electrical company that is now coming down to you. Listen, what Jesus is simply saying, I am the power of the resurrection. I am the power of life. Without me, you don't have eternal life. Hey, dude, eat as healthy as you want to eat. Take as many vitamins as you want to take. Listen, without Jesus, you can exercise to the utmost. But without Jesus, you're ultimately going to die and be dead. And when you get resurrected, you're not going to be resurrected to life. You're going to be resurrected to eternal death. Listen, matter of fact, let me just clear this up. Everybody will be resurrected. Everybody will be resurrected. Read it, John. Some will be resurrected to life eternal. Some will be resurrected to eternal punishment. Your physical bodies cannot take the hell that you're going to go in one day if you rejected Jesus Christ. So guess what? You're going to get an imperishable, immortal body that can absorb eternal punishment. Not a pretty thing. But we that believe in the person, we believe in the person, we believe in who Jesus is, we believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Listen, if I believe that, it's more than a historical fact. It's an experience in our lives. You have to grab a hold of the experience. See, if you believe, listen, let me say it like this. If you believe the resurrection as a historical fact, but you never experienced the resurrection personally, then you just have a form of religion with no power. Well, yeah, this whole Bible thing, this Jesus dead thing, I believe it. Yeah, the Bible says it, but if you never experienced that resurrected power, then all you're doing, you're walking around with empty religion. So when you get in those moments of brokenness and hurt and despair, and you run to God and you want to say, God, if you'd only been here, you have no way of handling that because you don't understand and believe that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And what Hebrews said, he's moved by us. When Martha and Mary, both of them say the same thing to Jesus. Jesus, if you've been here, Jesus doesn't rebuke them. Jesus said, get away from me, you old crazy. You know what? He's moved because he understands I'm about to give them a new revelation about I am the resurrection life. So how do we flip the switch real quickly? Let me wrap this thing up. How do we flip the switch? Number one, the Bible says we have to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Christianity has some hard edges to it. We don't like it sometimes, but it does. Christianity says there's some things that's true, there's some things that false. Christianity says there's a way to be saved, there's a way to be damned. Christianity says if you want to experience God, you have to believe in the truth. You have to really, truly believe that Jesus lived. He lived here. He came, took upon flesh. We read the verse. He took upon mortality. He lived among us for 33 and a half years. You have to really believe that. You have to really believe that he died. It wasn't no swoon theory. He didn't just pass out. He died. And you have to really believe that he resurrected from the dead. And if you believe that truth, if you believe it, then it moves you into a life where you begin to live it and you speak it. You speak life. You speak life in situations. Come on, Pastor Linda. You speak life in circumstances that seem hopeless. Paul put it like this. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will make alive your mortal flesh. He makes alive. Not your glorified flesh, your mortal flesh. The resurrection power coming out of God from his word into our spirit, Paul said, out of our mouth. It quickens our flesh with resurrection power. It's the reason why every time you speak the name of Jesus or plead the blood of Jesus over a situation, you're simply reminding Satan of his defeat. You're simply reminding Satan, listen, because of Jesus' resurrection life in me, listen, I can overcome this. I can be victorious. I can beat this habit. I can whip this hurt. I can get past this situation. Why? Because of me? No, because of the power of the resurrected Jesus lives inside my mortal body. I have the Spirit of God inside of me. I can stand in this broken world. And when everybody's eyes are getting dim, I can say, God, my eyes are seeing more clearly. When the world is consuming us with noise and people can't hear, you can say, no, God, I still hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. My mind is still functioning. Why? Because it's being transformed by the renewing of my mind every day. It's Spirit-filled life. It's letting the resurrected power of God live inside of me. Man, I feel like I'm about to blow up right now. Woo! The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens, makes alive my mortal flesh. I believe it, I speak it, and thirdly, I act upon it. Listen, make no mistake, Satan's defeat was sealed at Jesus' resurrection. But we have to enforce it. We have to act upon it. The same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of us. Satan is defeated. And every time Satan tries to come to you as a believer, as a new believer, as a longtime believer, and every time he tries to come to you and bring back the curses over your life or bring back problems or difficulties that you went through, every time you have to stand there and you say, I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and life. I speak life today. Satan, you're trespassing against the authority. I give you no place in my life. You have no authority here. Be gone. Come on. Come on. Somebody grab a hold of this today. The Bible says we have authority. We have authority to act on that, to be able to stand. Listen, the empty tomb is our message. It's a message of hope. The empty tomb is what the world doesn't need to hear another message. They need to see Christ followers like you and me living out that message. You go to the tomb of Muhammad, and they will tell you, here lies the bones of a great prophet. You go to the tomb of Napoleon, and they will say, here lies the bones of the Emperor of France. You go to Moscow and you see the tomb of Lenin, and they will say, here lies the bones of the great founder of Soviet communism. But you go to the tomb of Jesus Christ and they will tell you, go in, see for yourself. There's no bones there. He's alive. He's alive. And because he lives, we can live also. He lives. Oh, come on, stand with me. I gotta quit. My Lord, God, help us. Help us to live in this truth today. It's a person. Everybody say, he's a person. Martha, I am the resurrection life. He took her future. I know one day. No, he took her future. He took her past, if you'd been here. And he pulled it together in the moment. I am the resurrection. Jesus is not behind us in the tomb. He's not behind us on the cross. He is before us on the throne, physically alive. Sit down at the Father's right hand. I want my grandkids and my kids to know this. I want them to have a resurrection-centric faith, a bold faith, that is based on the historical fact that Jesus walked out of the grave alive. He come out of that tomb. Lazarus come out, but he died again. He was a resurrection at that moment for Lazarus, but he said, Martha and Mary, there's going to come a day he'll die again. All your care, all the health things you can do, but I want you to know, I'm not just a resurrection, I'm also the life. Listen, there's over 100 times in the New Testament the word hope appears. And more times than not, it deals with the hope of our resurrection. Peter says this, one last verse. Blessed be the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, for Christ followers, death is not a destination. It's a transition. For those of you that had to go through that with loved ones, it hurts, you grieve, you sorrow, you weep. There's a loss. Why? Because you had that relationship. You had a love. But you live there and you stay at that tomb. You go by and visit the grave. You put flowers on. My dad's birthday, matter of fact, today, I think, and he would have been dead for 8 years in about 7 days. He turned 97 days later. He passed away. But we go there with hope. We go there with a steadfastness. Now, listen, here's my challenge to some of you today. Some of you are over here where Martha was, and you've camped out there. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to move you to this hope. Some of you are hanging out here. Lord, if you'd been here, Lord, if you just showed up when I was a kid, if you just showed up in my marriage earlier, if somebody had told me about church, and if I somehow, and you hang out in that disappointment. Listen, throw all of your disappointment on Jesus. He can handle every one of your hurts and your frustration. But walk with Jesus as Martha did, and grab Mary and walk with them to the tomb. And Jesus says, guys, he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. He was moved with compassion. He knows. But Lazarus lived. And Martha and Mary saw a miracle, not just of the resurrection, but they saw the miracle of Jesus being the life. And some of you need to make a move today. You need to walk away from that false expectations, unmet expectations that you had for God. God, if you'd only been here for that. And say, God, I need that living hope. Because he lives. Come on, we live. Come on, you understand that? There's going to come a day, if the Lord doesn't happen, the rapture doesn't take place, and we get caught up, there's going to come a day, every one of us in this room, listen, you're going to die. You're going to die. Young, old, you're going to die. But we don't walk through life fearing death. We walk through life knowing that when that day comes, we have hope. You follow me? We have hope. And some of you need to carry this hope with you. You need to share this hope with family members. Listen, I know people today, I personally know people that's been locked in grief because they can't move the hope. Grief will paralyze you, even as a Christ follower. God, lead me to that promise of you're the resurrection and life. Let me be able to boldly sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all my fear is gone. And because I know, yes, I know that he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Come on, Rhonda, sing that verse. God sent his son. Yeah, come on, worship, just worship.
They called him Jesus.
Yes.
He came to love.
Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He'll
forgive. Oh, yes.
He lived and died.
He lived and died
to buy my pardon.
Come on, believe that today. Some of you that's already buried loved ones, come on, you know this. Come on, the hope, because he lives,
I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives.
This is why
all my fear is gone. I'm going to cross that river.
Thank you, Father.
I'll fight life's stand. No war with pain.
Hallelujah.
And then one day.
Come on, come on. Come on now.
Oh. I'll cross that river. I'll see the lights of glory there.
And because I know he lives. Come on, one more time. Get your voice. Come on, sing it.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at pastorphil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.